Hi, it's Jasmine. You know, that girl who did you know what way before the internet ever existed. Join me and my special guest every week as we talk about anything and everything because nothing is too taboo. So punch your ticket and get on board the crazy train with me, Jasmine St. Clair. All aboard!
Welcome to a new episode of Crazy Train Podcast with moi. I hope everyone's been enjoying the variation of guests that I've had on here, old friends, new friends, and some friends I didn't know that I had like many years ago. So when I came back to XPW Wrestling, I knew that they're having these new commentators, and one of them I kind of remembered, but I didn't, Ron Neamey. But he actually has a very interesting story behind him and a slightly controversial one involving some jail time. So let's welcome to the show, Ron Neamey. Thank you so much for joining me today, Ron. I'm so happy to finally have you on Crazy Train. You joined the ride. You're like the most appropriate guest, I think.
I appreciate it. I've been excited as soon as I was asked if I wanted to do the show. I'm like, of course I want to do the show. And it's you have such a like a cool mix of guests that it's not just pro wrestling. And, you know, you got so much connections in the music industry and adult films and just people from all different walks of life. So I'm happy to be part of it.
Let me guess. You like the adult film stars that came on here?
Yeah. How did you know?
I don't know. I mean, if it was Larry Legend, well, actually Larry, I mean, he likes the pretty girls. So yeah, you, I just have a gut feeling. Cause I think we met years ago in Florida. You reminded me.
Yeah. We were doing a show at the Florida Wrestleplex with, I think I was working with Joe Price at the time. So it was like IPW and NWA Florida. And you were down there involved in a different project. And Joe had talked to Mimi, who was along for the ride as well. And you guys came over there and it's just like nobody, everyone's blown out of the water. There's all of a sudden Jasmine St. Clair, Missy Hyatt. I think Tammy was there too. I'm almost positive. So it was a big deal. We had at the exact same building, we've had Macho Man Randy Savage show up like totally unannounced and come in and do like the biggest babyface promo ever. So they're kind of like accustomed to really huge surprises. And that was a huge surprise for everybody.
Because I always think of like when I think of Missy Hyatt and a show down there, I know one day I pulled a rib on her and I told her I was booked on a show in Fort Lauderdale. And to come down there, and she drove all the way from Tampa. I wasn't even in the state at that point, but I don't know if she ever, I don't want her to get me back for that. Like,
ever. No, that would be a pretty terrible receipt if you were to get one. But it was the wrestling, you know, fraternity at the time. Cause then, you know, you returned the favor and was nice enough to let me start sending wrestlers and even myself to 3PW. And it was such a different experience because I was a long-term Southeast indie guy. And this finally be able to come up, you know, I'd done some stuff with CZW and Jersey All Pro, but this was like you had names on the card and I got to see like Hat Guy was in the front row from ECW. And it was, you know, and I sent Roderick Strong. So clearly I didn't come off bad looking, you know, like I thought I had an eye for talent. I sent him and Mikey Batts, who was the younger cousin of Kidman, and I think you know Mikey and Kidman. So it was like, you were nice enough to do the favor for me in St. Pete, and then returned it like you owed me a favor by letting me send kids up there to get exposure that they hadn't had before. And then I got to get myself on the show. So, you know, I'm indebted. I hope you don't ever call in those favors.
Well, I think there's a really good sushi place. What part of Florida are you in again?
I'm in Tampa.
Yeah, there's a really good sushi place there. I don't know if it's still there, but it was there when I stayed at like the Cambria Hotel and Suites years ago. I think I was feature dancing at the Deja Vu. And yeah. I just remembered this amazing like sushi place. They had such good foods. And I think that when I was in Florida, I was featuring at some club down the street. And then we came in like when I wasn't doing one of my shows at those places, but it was a fun time. I really miss Florida in so many ways now. What got you started in wrestling?
I had got to Tampa from, I grew up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and I joined the Air Force right out of high school. And I was just the biggest wrestling fanatic in the world and grew up on the AWA. And then I found Southwest Championship Wrestling which was on USA Network before the WWF. A lot of people don't remember that. So I would just, anything I could get my hands on with wrestling since I was about 11, I just absorb it all. So then my first duty station and last was Tampa. I got sent to MacDill Air Force Base, and I was in active duty 8 years, and they never moved me. And within a few months of being there, I found the sportatorium where Jimmy Del Rey, who was Jimmy Backlund at the time, him and Mark Starr were handling the training for Steve Kern. But at the exact same time, I started going to Malenko School of Wrestling, where Dean was training people. And then Jeff Bradley later on, who was the original Dudley Dudley in ECW, he was handling the training there. So I was bouncing back and forth. I was like a no-stripe Air Force enlisted guy, flat broke, thinking I'm just living my dream. You know, I'm in Tampa. I love blondes. I love, you know, the type of body I love. I make that very clear. And I'm surrounded by them. And all of a sudden, I snuck in the back door of wrestling. And most of the first couple of years of shows I did was at the Tampa Sportatorium. So I'm like this really young. I was young, but I looked much younger because of the way you had to groom yourself in the Air Force. I looked like a baby. Had snuck in the back door. And I'm surrounded by Dick Slater, Robert Fuller, Brady Boone, the Malenko boys, Kern, Mike Awesome. And I'm just like, you know, I'm waiting for them to just hook me and throw me out the back door. But that was in 91, and I've never quit. So I'm 32 years into it at this point.
Yeah, you're not going anywhere. No. If you're here now, you're not going anywhere.
I'm never leaving.
Yeah, you can't. This is like, it's the mafia in a way. But that is disgusting. You like girls with blonde hair and big pics. That is just, that's flat out nasty and disgusting. I find it offensive. Seriously. You like Sable? Sable was really cool, by the way. I worked with her at XWF. Was that one of your first crushes in wrestling, or was it Tammy or Missy?
Tammy was definitely, but I mean, I still remember, I guess it would be right as in high school and coming out of high school, the old pictures of, I'll never forget Missy in the red, white, and blue Star Spangled Banner bikini that is barely containing everything, but she's in the hot tub with John Tatum. And they used to show that picture all the time. And when I first saw Nancy, pictures of Fallen Angel with Kevin Sullivan in the magazines, I could not believe the level of hotness that these women were in. And I'm going, all right, I already love wrestling, but that's the kind of girls that are in there. And I really party heavily, and you know how it is, especially back then with wrestling. So I wasn't making any money, but I mean, I was living the life. I made it as far as I was concerned.
I think a lot of wrestlers feel that they're living the life, even if they get $20 or $30, because some of these guys are practically homeless. Like, if anyone has ever seen the movie The Wrestler, that's totally what it is. And I don't necessarily think that, you know, well, maybe some of them live in trailers, but I don't necessarily think they have the whole love story behind it, like with, who is it, Marissa Tomei, you know, meeting the stripper, the older stripper at the club who's barely making ends meet, you know, and getting rejected for lap dances. But actually, wait a second, what am I thinking of? Yeah, no, actually, those are real stories.
They are real. And if you go to 2001 here in Tampa, I'm sure you remember with the spaceship on the roof. It's like right across from Mons Venus, the world famous clubs. But
was I fired there?
I don't know. It was right on Dale Mabry, right down from the stadium.
Oh yeah, I remember that place. I didn't get fired from there. Yeah, I threw a drink in someone's face and got fired somewhere. But I know the place. It's nice.
But if we were to go there right now, go, okay, let's go stop by 2001. The odds are, one of the Shane twins, Mike, is in charge of security. Bull Payne is working for him. Bam Neely, I don't know if you remember him from the WWE.
Yeah.
He's working for him. So it's like Tampa's always been like very famous for their clubs as far as strip clubs. But there's always been a wrestling presence, and it hasn't changed to this day. It's really cool.
Well, there's always been a wrestling presence on the strip club stages in Florida, just so you know, guys, because Missy Hyatt was feature dancing at one point. I think I set her up with the agent, with Charlie Fry, who was my only agent in that industry at that point. He passed away a couple of years ago or killed himself or something. But yeah, I think he still owes me money. But yeah, so Missy Hyatt used to dance there. Now, Bull Payne and I go back a ways. When I first started wrestling, I was working at Memphis Championship Wrestling between my ECW gigs. So I worked for Jerry Lawler. Yeah, Bill Payne used to do the suplex on me, like off a top rope or something. And you don't think about it then, right? But now when you look back at these things, it's like, what the fuck was I possibly thinking?
Is that where your tie-in to XWF would have came from then? Or did Jimmy find you later?
Dave Penzer actually was the one that got me in. And Kid Cash, I know, had something to do with it because he thought I was great. And but it was Dave Penzer that said, let's bring her in. And he brought me in. And I'm very grateful to him for that. I got to work with Hulk Hogan. I got to work with the Shane Twins, the Nasty Boys. Were you at those tapings?
I was there. And for whatever reason, it was before the Nasty Boys were cool with me. And they just kayfabed me to a level that was like, there was no chance that I was going to get on that show. And Jimmy Hart was already the biggest things I've done in wrestling, which really, truly isn't a lot. I'm being honest. I've done a million shows. I've done a lot of cool stuff, but I haven't gotten many breaks. But the biggest breaks I've had has been through Jimmy Hart. And while I literally love the guy, I do. He's done so many cool, big things for me where I've made real money and got real exposure. But I always can't help but to think, why didn't he find me, or make sure he found me, you know, several years before? Well, he, you know, could just open the door for you to walk into WCW, you know, but I'm grateful. I got to go to Puerto Rico to work for Carlos Colon because of Jimmy. I got to call a pay-per-view with Lance Russell and Jim Cornette. It was such a terrible show. It really was, but I was surrounded by legends and I got paid a lot of money to do it. It was because of Jimmy. So I'm always grateful, but I look at like right now what I'm doing and the fact that Rob has put me on this stage. You know, I don't sing his praises enough because really he doesn't let you compliment him, as you know. But I'm so happy to be on these shows and surrounded by you and Necro, Masada. I love cats. You know, Jay loves there now. She's fun. And the young guys are so cool. I don't want to sound cliche, but it does feel like a family. It does. It's a dysfunctional, insane one, you know, that isn't easy to fit in with. But the pieces of the puzzle that are there now, there's a lot of them that fit really well. You know, and you and Necro, I mean, I'm living vicariously. As I just said, I haven't had a lot of breaks. I'm living vicariously through you, Jasmine. You're over at standing ringside in Japan. You know, how cool is that? It's amazing.
It was coolest experience. And I'll say one thing about Japan, like I'm going back at for the April and May shows, and it's a very different situation than the States. And fans there, they had plastic sheets on them, like plastic raincoats. I don't know if it was the glass or the blood. I'm pretty sure it was the glass. But when I walked out the first night in Shin Yokohama in the ring, it was covered in glass already. I'm like, oh shit. So whenever anyone asks me, how do you walk in the glass with those heels? It's a special art. There are thumbtacks under my shoes. I haven't retired them yet. There is someone out there that wants to buy them, but I'm not ready to sell them yet. And the glass, I mean, it's all over. There's a five-year-old in the audience, this little five-year-old girl who's a Trump supporter, and she has a Trump hat. And she has a MAGA shirt. She's really great. That's really great. Smart kid. I think she'll be a politician one day. The food was good. And they run a very tight ship there. But it's a type of thing where they don't mess around. So if there's any kind of antics, like let's say someone sending a dick photo to a female manager, which wouldn't happen from any of the Japanese wrestlers, just to be clear about this, guys. Let's say it comes from an American wrestler who's on a tour there, they won't tolerate that, which is great. Rob doesn't tolerate it either, by the way. But moving right along, working with Necro, it's so crazy. Like, did you ever work with him before?
No, he's just like, I've always ran, it almost seemed like parallel to what he was going one way, I was going another. So to be around him now is like, I think I said it in our chat group the other day, to be this late in my career, to be able to do stuff alongside him, It's truly unbelievable. You just mentioned the wrestler. He's the fucking one of the stars of the wrestler. And here we are sharing a locker room with him. And I see the risks and willingness that you have that I might be wrong. I a lot of that is respect to the fact of who you're with, and you're willing to do anything to I would say to get the act over, but it's fucking over. It just keeps, the levels keep going, and it's like you get it. Some of the shit scares me, though. Again, what you're willing to do, but the fact that you're doing it for him, I totally understand.
So if you're looking for the safest and coolest way to bet online and the most variety, of course, of games and like almost anything you could bet on, stop by betonline.ag because I guarantee you there is something for everyone. Yeah, I mean, I've been called a far-right extremist, which is partially true. I think like the last acting role I have left in me in my lifetime is to play a far-right-wing extremist like Marine Le Pen. I saw this TV show Marseille, and there's this really pretty blonde girl in there who plays like the Marine Le Pen character, but she's way prettier, of course, because it's an actress. But I think this allows me to channel. I know this sounds horrible. I know I'm not racist, guys. It just allows me to channel that. But the first day I met Necro Butcher at California, the very first one, first of all, it's XPW coming back. And it's this whole other thing with death matches. I met him in the locker room. He and I shared a locker room, but I didn't know, like, I was afraid of him. I didn't know it was him until he opened up his mouth, but I was like shaking. And it's before we got the chance to work together. Are there people that you are working with or have worked with where you're just, you have that moment of like fanboyism aside from like Sunny or, you know, Missy or any of those girls?
Well, I've known loosely Masada since he broke in, and I used to use Michael Shane, who came from the same, different Mike Shane, but he came from the same class as Masada did, which, I mean, you want it, Paul London, Spanky, American Dragon, Masada, all out of the same class. And he was on very, I think, the first couple FIP shows from the very beginning that Gabe had brought him in. So I met him. But he's scarily, he's really that guy that he, you know, that you see the anger and you see, you know, the, he's not afraid to share his thoughts and whatever, but in the ring, he's so real. And I can't imagine if I was a rookie or a guy, even that's been around for a bit, you find yourself in there with them, just the idea that maybe things might go wrong. You know, you may fuck up enough to piss him off to go into business for himself, but I like being in the locker room with one show in California. Somebody was in the back that shouldn't have been there. Mm-hmm. And Schlack pretty gruffly told them to beat it. The guy didn't leave. And Schlack went through me, who just happened to be standing there, unfortunately. I'm back against the wall, and Schlack went right through me to this guy. And I'm watching the other veterans in there at the time. I'm like, this guy needs to get going right now. These guys are real. And they are some of the last of the few that feel the need to protect the business. I love being around that. That's the way I was brought up. I also was brought up where I snuck in the back door, but I took an incredible amount of punishment trying to be chased off, especially by Jimmy Del Rey. He was notorious for that. So again, I have the respect where I can't believe we have the experience. If you listen to all the ridiculous opinions online, you would think nobody would ever work there. Not only will everybody, if their fucking phone rings and Rob's on the other end, by the way, but we have the top guys. And they're just as tough outside of the ring in their real life as they are in the ring. So I can come to a show and I can be in all kinds of fucking nasty internet drama and heat. I know I got nothing to worry about when I'm in that building with the fucking animals we're surrounded by, you know, and they cover for it. We saw what happened when Necro got booted from that tournament. Everybody, it's like, felt like it was 1970 something. People don't back each other like that elsewhere, you know, and the excuse most people would go, yeah, well, they need the money. There ain't no fucking money for most of these people. You know who there is money for? It's Necro, and he makes a living as a professional wrestler. So for people to celebrate him missing out on a payday that, you know, again, it sounds cliche, literally puts food on his table and the people that are around him that he's responsible for, they're celebrating it. I don't get it. And the people it's ridiculous. And the people ready to steal the spot would probably buy their own flight over there and take a shitty payday. You know, it's like, it's backwards. But they learned a hard lesson, though, too, when you had the real ones, fucking, including Big F and Joe, who lives there. Mm-hmm. And counts on these bookings, and he's still enough of a fucking man to say, hey, this isn't right. I hope we could do business later. But, you know, I was like, wow, this is cool. That's just unheard of.
You
sorry,
know,
I'm ranting.
It's just, it's so fucking retarded. And you know what Necro Butcher did say, and I agree with him wholeheartedly, because everyone knows I have a conservative podcast, by the way, guys, if you want to hop over to Ice Cold Conservative and check it out. And you know, this is an election year. And I think a lot more of us are getting more and more heated up about things. But yes, drag queens are not interested in kids. Pedophiles are fucking interested in kids. That is who dances for your children at schools when they do drag queen story hour. So all he said, it was inappropriate. Secondly, what kind of a sick fucker cuts their dick off invading women's spaces, private women's spaces, meaning bathrooms, underage girls, sports? You know, stay in your lane, people. Stay in your fucking lane, and that's how it goes. He didn't word it quite that aggressively like I did. It wouldn't go well for a presidential campaign for me, but he worded it in the way where it stands like, this is what I'm against. So that doesn't mean you're against LGBTQ. People that I have are friends with that are gay or bi or trans, whatever, and that are drag queens are against this stuff. So it's an insult to them. So for some wrestling company, you're a deathmatch wrestling company, what, TNT Extreme, and you're kicking Necro Butcher off of a DOA tournament, which is a dead on arrival tournament, a deathmatch tournament, because of a small percentage of people that are mentally unstable. I don't know if it was this one wrestler there who I think might be trans or have some kind of problems with pronouns or something. I don't know. But everyone that stood up for him did the right thing. Mickey came out for him. Schlack came out for him. Big Joe came out. I don't know who else, but let me tell you, like, that is one company I would not want to do business with, seriously.
But think of this, though. It's like, you know, and I didn't do all kinds of, like, detective work on this, so this may have been covered a lot, but they just discovered all of this stuff about him?
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Everybody knew the story. You booked him. You want him there. And again, you succumb to the pressure of the few. And again, this guy does it for a living. You know, he's the shit that's going on over in Japan. I already told you how I feel about you being over there. But I mean, stuff with him and Akira and Pondo, they put the deathmatch title on Pondo. I mean, just like the cherry on top of his goddamn long-term wrestling Sunday. I've known Pondo literally forever, you know, we bump into each other. It's a little more often now because the deathmatch world or whatever. But this guy just fucking, this is what he does. He lives, eats, sleeps, shits. Everything is pro wrestling. And to see him not only getting the push, you know, I'm not this wrestling politician, but I don't think it's far-fetched to say that almost everybody, if not everybody from here that are over there is because of him. So he's not taking spotlight and saying me, he's fucking, hey, got doors open. Let me see how many of you guys I can get in. And everybody is going over there and performing at a high, like a real high level. So he's just winning overall. I'm hoping that fucking title is defended on an XPW show. That's what I want. I'd like to see Pondo. It's already a world title, but I'd like to see Pondo defended in his home country. And hopefully go back with it too. That would be a rub for the belt, for whatever promotion, which I hope it's XPW, and whoever's lucky enough to get a shot at the title. It's good for wrestling, and it's even better that it's the old timer, you know, doing this stuff. And to me, it's like the teacher and student feel with him and Akira, and all these pictures with them dragging each other's carcasses out at the end of the night. It's just like, man, this is. I'm living vicariously through what those of you lucky enough to go and do that. It's great. And I feel I'm lucky to have, you know, people that I'm partners with business wise that I get to share in the glory because I'm on a very, very small team with you guys. So it's like when somebody does something big, I feel like we all did something big, you know?
Yeah. It was really a big deal going over there because they've never had a female manager and, you know, Pondo did a lot for me in that respect. And so did Necro. And, you know, I like the fact that I have to say this once. I just got to say this only once, I promise. Okay. Like, I'm just glad I don't have to work with a fucking green bitch or better yet, some like glorified webcam girl. That's like what I'm grateful for when I go there. I get to work with seasoned professionals. And that's for the most part, you know, even though like, what was his name? Judge Joe Dredd's manager. He didn't have much. I don't know how long he's been doing this, but it was fun working with them because it's nice when you have managers like that as opposed to like what I call them tourists sometimes. What was your phone call like with Rob? How did that call come about with Rob Black?
I had approached Slack and said, I've got to get out of ICW. I've got to go. I've already quit once. But the problem is the fucking phone ain't ringing other than, stuff down here. I got to get, and I squashed things with Danny and went back, but there was such animosity on my end. And it was being taken advantage of. And I told Slack, I've got to fucking go. Please mention. And Slack's immediately like, wait a second, you want out? I go, yeah. And I want fucking in XPW. And I'm going to try to drag Larry with me. And there was another guy that I was trying to drag with me that went up in smoke. But after a couple of weeks, Slack, finally, I got Rob on the phone and I just listened. And we're both characters. He is to a totally different level. I can't even compete, but I know I'm a fucking character too. And we seemed to hit it off. And he told me what it would take, that it's not just doing commentary. It's not just doing whatever needs to happen. If you're around, do it. In that you're right. And maybe we can open up Florida later. A lot of different things that I feel I bring to the table, but we just hit it off. I liked him. I think he liked me. I don't know if he still does, but Kat loves me and Larry. So that's a wonderful feeling. But I brag about the work rate and work ethic of Rob backstage. And he is hands-on everything. He's a perfectionist and a real giant pain in the ass when he wants to be. And he had me, you remember the last Jersey show, I did 16 interviews prior to the 16th. And he was sitting right there like a director for the first one. And he didn't say anything. And then just exploded with joy and then left me to do the other 15. I knew I earned his trust. He'd never seen me do that before. And I posted the one with Danny Maff the other day. It's fucking, it's a work of art. And there's 16 of those, So I'm being given opportunities. I'm going off on a tangent, but
no, it's okay.
Right from the beginning, I felt me and Rob hit it off, and he gets a different level of loyalty. Cause, I'm almost 54. I willingly walked away from ICW, which had a pretty big fucking stage on IWTV, in my opinion. And I willingly left it. And Rob could have told me to fucking kick rocks after the first show. I'm well past a year now. He knows I got my quirks and weird things. But I'm also extremely driven, and you've seen how anxious I am before the shows. I can't stop pacing, and I want everything perfect, and I want everything I'm involved with better than the rest. So I'm extremely competitive. I'm grateful. I'm excited, but it's the fucking Wild West, especially after the shows. I miss that so much. I miss it so much. We're all partying so heavily. Everybody's cool. There ain't no fighting. There ain't no people that don't belong are not in there. And
not anymore.
There was, but I had warned about that too. So I'm glad that was cleaned up. But it's again, it's the fucking Wild West. I got a wife that's cool enough that just, she knows I'm never going to stop doing this. So if it's for people that fly me around the country and put us up in nice hotels and I come home with some money in my pocket, she's happy too. She's seen the opposite for so long where I want the best. And you keep realizing you're working for people who all it's about is getting as many of the dollars in their pocket, and the talent will never share in it. The promotion never grows. We're a professional production in XPW. This isn't, you get a peek backstage there. This isn't some indie bullshit with one laptop. There is a real serious production. And Rob is right fucking there the whole time, for hours before. He's there during the entire thing, and he's post-producing. It's to see someone take it that serious, how could I not make an effort just as aggressive? So I'm excited. I'm excited about Houston coming up. I bitch about Jersey. I wish that these people would, they think they're part of a war that they're not part of. It's just, you're missing good shit.
Oh, Danny and them?
No, they don't care about them. The people that think they're on his team, whatever. His team is buy bloody clothing from men and give him money. That's, unless you're doing that, you're not part of the fucking team. You know, you come to a show, Rob, he says hi to everybody.
Yeah.
Pat's out there. You're out there. I'm out there. Larry is the coolest person in professional wrestling. Easily the best ring announcer. And I love David Penzer, but Larry Legend's a different level. We've got him as the face and the voice of it. Rob knows what he's doing, you know, and again, now that we're breaking into some of these other markets and a lot of you are getting international exposure, to me, the sky's the limit.
If you're looking for a way to put some energy into your life and some pep in your day, and of course, with very clean, zero calorie and zero sugar energy, go to tigerlife.com. That's TIGERLYFE.com. Make sure you get a case of the stuff and use my code JASMINSC, JASMINSC, for free shipping. It's totally worth it. Yeah, now it is. Like, I'll have a lot of European bookings next year with some other companies in Holland and France and Italy. So I'm doing some of those, which will be a lot of fun. So I'm trying to get Necro booked as well. But it's just, he gives the opportunity to people who know how to take them and not do stupid things, you know, prior to shows or making us look bad, you know. Even though the whole MAGA thing, it was supposed to be something to piss people off, but everyone liked it. I think it's because it's Necro. It's a Necro thing more than anything else. If it was anyone else doing that, it wouldn't be the same effect.
Well, and it's again, it is a throwback to where comedy's coming back now too, where you can fucking say anything again. Comedy's like, to me, at a point that we're very lucky if you're a fan of it to witness it. I think wrestling's coming back to that. I think rock and roll is coming back to that. You know, I'm in Tampa. I'm in the death metal capital of the world.
Yeah. Here.
This is it, Tampa. You know, and I've came up in wrestling. I've known Nasty Ronnie from Nasty Savage every minute I've been in this business, and I was able to call in a favor. I brought his name up to Schlack. I was just trying to fit in a little bit with the conversation. And I dropped Nasty Ronnie's name, and Schlack's like, "Oh, I love Ronnie. I love Nasty Savage." Well, I contacted Ronnie, and he sent Schlack this package of, it was the coolest fucking effort of like signed pictures, t-shirts, tapes, and really, he's a Schlack fan now. So there's a trade off. So when we come to Tampa, I just picture fucking Nasty Savage playing Schlack to the ring. Can you imagine?
Yeah. Oh, you know how
cool, oh my God, it would be so cool, you know, and it, just the fact that we have so many people on the team that can even maybe make something like that happen. You know, Schlack is just, I had no clue
how
big time of a deal he is. You know, he's on Liquid Metal, and then he's on this podcast I'm watching the other day with major comedians, you know, and I'm like, hey, I'm surrounded by stars. This is pretty cool. We're in a very niche part of a very niche entertainment. But the people that follow it, they love it. I tell my wife this. It isn't like, hey, I love Kiss. You know, no, these people, they love you. They love you. You know, a lot of the people that follow us have, unfortunately, I think, you know, a lot of them will tell you they're depressed. They have severe mental issues. And this is, sometimes deathmatch wrestling is the one thing that they can watch and just fucking forget about shit for a couple hours. And I see how they appreciate you guys that are taking the bumps and everything still. And you can see it in their eyes. They fucking love you. You know, it doesn't that feel good?
They should. Or either they're just like, they wish they could. Or maybe they just like seeing other people somehow get hurt. I know that sounds
there,
really evil.
There is that too.
Yeah.
There is that too. But but that's also, I was talking to Schlack another time where I thought I was going to be the old grizzled veteran and come over and, hey, I'd like to thank you for your sacrifices that you make, the pain and this and that. Schlack look at me, he goes, Ronnie, I fucking love this shit. He goes, I love it. I'm not sacrificing anything. He goes, the fact I get to do this for legal is insane. I'm like, okay, I take it all back. I take it all back. But that's the kind of people we're surrounded with. They'll, you know, there's been so many shocking moments, but to me, it's more in the back seeing some of the young guys, JJ for one,
yeah.
The willingness to do just, completely insane shit, you know, but the willingness to do it, to stand out, but to bring attention to us, it's shocking a lot of time. I do feel that sometimes it wouldn't hurt my feelings if there was somebody around to reel them back a little bit sometimes, you know.
Yeah,
like,
I agree, because sometimes it's
that spot at the Heart Ballroom when he came off of the balcony,
oh god,
was horrible. You know, it was horrible. I sat there, I said, how has that ever ended well? You know, and not only is he getting around, did you see him at the last Heart Ballroom? He's
jacked. What was that about? What was he doing?
He must have found the good shit. I don't know, because he is fucking, his arms are enormous and traps. He don't quite have Danny Maff traps, but he's getting there.
But I have a friend that wants to meet him, Pablo Escobar Jr., who is Pablo Escobar's son, and saw his name as JJ Escobar. He's like, wait a second, I'm not related to JJ. He's like, who is this clown? Pablo was at the last show. Pablo Jr. was at the
show.
You
were telling the... I heard you saying this. You weren't just trying to...
No, I was serious. I'm friends with him. No, we do Twitter spaces together sometimes. I'm getting him as a guest on my next Ice Cold Conservative show, the next taping. That's Escobar's son. I used to model for his fashion line years ago, and that's how I met the son.
So he's living like not normal, like 9 to 5, but he's got like businesses and all that stuff.
Yeah, he's legit, but he just wants to know if JJ is related. And I told JJ he wants to talk to you at the next show. JJ's like scared. I said, no, like, don't worry about it. It'll be cool. I said, I don't think he wants you to change. I said, maybe you should just shoot a promo with him or something. That would be really cool.
He might give his blessing.
He's not going to beat him up.
Oh, yeah. I heard you telling him that at the last show, and I'm like, oh, Jasmine's fucking with the young guy.
I'm not fucking with him. He was sitting front row. As soon as you get in, Shannon met him. Shannon met the son.
Really?
She met him. Yeah, she actually sat him somewhere. And I mean, I don't think he wants to, like, do anything crazy to him. Now, this is, speaking of crazy, and you, of course, because we're all crazy to be in this business.
Yes.
Now, people always think you're joking about doing time for some kind of deal with money laundering, or what was the whole thing with your moving company and transporting something or another? I have to hear this. I've never heard this.
It's people have tried to bury me bringing it up before, and it's just something I've fucking happened in my life, and I talk about it openly, but... I was working for a company in Augusta, Georgia, like 10 years ago. And I worked like 3 years there, but I ended up moving on and coming back to Tampa, but I stayed in the moving business. And one day I was at work, and I was called, and it was a federal agent, and they had proposed a meeting. I'd never been in real trouble, believe it or not. So I took this meeting. It was at a fucking Applebee's, and they're asking me, it was two lady agents, and they're asking me questions that I thought it was going to go. They used what was called an incentive pay program at this company, which was clearly meant to just pay less than minimum wage to the help. You know, they'd run you into the ground and then say, well, here's how this job is cut up. Here's how you're paid. And it was completely illegal. So I figured they were going to approach me for information on that. But during the conversation, it kept coming back to weights on overseas shipments. And I realized something was wrong. And I got out of there and I called my former boss, told him what just happened. He said, don't worry about it. Well, the next day, that place was raided by just insane amounts of federal agents. And they took everything, and it turned out it was a whistleblower lawsuit by the warehouse, the two Guatemalan warehousemen that worked in there that were friends of mine. But they had done what's called a qui tam lawsuit, which is a whistleblower lawsuit. And they found a lawyer in South Carolina to take this case and get his people behind him. And they managed to get venue moved from Augusta, Georgia to Columbia, South Carolina, because we serviced the base that was there. And when they hit them with this qui tam lawsuit, they indicted me 5 times to run parallel to that. And everybody figured they were trying to spook me into turning into a snitch against this company, but they never did. And there really was nothing to snitch at, because what they were coming after us for I knew enough that it would never hold up. There was no chance it would held up. And I went to prison for five months. And then I was home detention for the 5 months when I got after that. But I literally walked out of prison. It was 2 days later, I was back in the moving industry doing the exact same job, and I'm still in it. And I didn't do anything then. I worked for a company that did. It was an international conspiracy to defraud the government. And it was for, I think it was $300 to $500 million. Whoa. And they hit me with the five indictments, looking at 20 years on an international conspiracy. I got convicted on an $800 mail fraud charge. That's what they fucking
$800?
$800 mail fraud, where my company had sent an invoice across state lines that they felt was overbilled by whatever. Remember, I just said $300 to $500 million. And the company ended up settling, I think it was for $5 million. But for what they were having to pay for lawyers around the world, they were laughing as they're signing the check. But what happened when they settled, they stopped paying my lawyer that they were paying for, and the feds didn't drop anything on me, and they still tried to fucking ruin me. And they gave me some pussy 5 month deal, and I'm back in the business, and I'm still doing the same. You know, I do everything the same that I was doing. I just work for a shitty, corrupt fucking company, and I took the rap for it. Not on purpose, by the way. I'd never go down and leave. You know, my wife and kids were out on their fucking own. My income was, I was done. And then I had when I had the home confinement, I had an ankle bracelet and was told, go to work. Well, they didn't think I would walk into the neighbor of my former company and go, I need this amount. I'll be in tomorrow at 9:00. I literally hired myself on the spot. And yeah, and then we're like 10 years later, and I'm still in the, I'm at a different business, but I'm still in the same industry, uh-huh. You know, considered an expert in this whole thing. But I wish I didn't have to still be in the same business that pulled something so fucking dirty on me. But as you know, wrestling has done us dirty forever, and we're still doing that shit too.
You know? Oh yeah, look at all the stuff going on, you know, and I hope that I hope those fuckers in the UK paid off Necro. I have to have a talk with him about that, because I will go after them if they didn't. I really mean that. I will go after them any way possible and just do it. I have a lot of connections in England and with wrestling there and building, so they need to just pay him the fucking money and just
do what's right. Again, it's how the guy eats. See how he pays the fucking light bill. If you were going to get scared off or use this as a, maybe it was a publicity stunt the whole time and they just fucking got over on our guy. But I don't think they're smart enough to do that. So I don't want to give that kind of credit. But isn't it nice that when we're doing what we do for Rob, I know no matter what I do, he may get mad at all of us here and there, but I know there's nothing I would do there that Rob would come up to me shocked going, oh, how could you say or do that? You know, me and Larry are completely out of fucking control there. And it's totally encouraged, you know, and it's fun. But I don't want to ever be so out of control that I'm disrespecting the sacrifices, again, that the guys and girls are making in there, you know?
Yeah, it's a lot, you know, it's like, it's really a lot. And it takes, like, XPW wrestling is not for practice guys, by the way. I'm just saying that, you know, just saying, because like, that's not where you go to get practice. It's where you go if you actually have your shit together. Because if you do one thing that makes one person look bad, you make all of us look bad. Seriously.
Mm-hmm. Outside the ring too. If you can't behave yourself when you're partying, and you know, you're not afraid to fucking make it clear when somebody's being inappropriate. And again, to be inappropriate in that group, you're doing some pretty fucking shady stuff, you know? So if you or somebody else is calling somebody out, it's like, hey man, you might want to settle down like a lot, you know? So but again, cool. Like I've already talked about Schlock and Masada and Necro. We got, you police the, I won't even say the girl's side. You police the locker room just like they.
Yeah, I know.
But I think it's cool. It shows respect for not only where you work, but the fact that you'd care enough to try to keep people in fucking line instead of just letting them hang themselves and lose their spot. You know, because we've had some of that too. you know?
Oh, but, yeah, we've had some of that. We've had a mixture of good eggs and bad eggs, and it's not, like, really Schlack's fault, because Schlack does his best to vet the dressing room. And I was there that day in Pomona when he yelled at the guy. He's like, you keep coming back here, and I told you not to come back here. That's Schlack telling you that. Do you really want to go down that road with him?
No.
It's really stupid. In Masada, I was with him at WrestleCon in LA, and we're in the lobby at the hotel waiting for Rob and Kat and Schlack. We're all going to eat. And I just see Masada there. He walks over, like I was standing there next to him, and he's like dashing over to some short little guy. And I'm like, who? I said, yeah, I even said to him, well, who is this? He's like, it's Brett Lauderdale. So he's like in Brett's face. I'm like, oh, this is not going to end good at all. I couldn't. No. It ended fine. He wanted to meet Rob, and Rob didn't come down in time. Brett ran off to do whatever. And it was interesting how GCW had like a death match, whatever little ceremony they had. But you have death match wrestlers in all different companies. It shouldn't be just to honor GCW death match wrestlers. You know, where was Masada? Where was Necro? Where was Schlock? They should have been there.
Yeah, even the WWE Hall of Fame gave up on. You remember when we were coming up watching this shit, or even when we got involved, their universes didn't combine. You know, there was WWE or WWF at the time. They're not talking about there being other world champions, or, you know, they just sent over fucking Charlie from NXT. Regal's son just fucking, he just headlined All Japan 2 nights ago. Who would have ever thought not only a WWE guy, but an NXT guy? Think of, like, I'm looking at it, and I might be reading more into it, but I was telling somebody this last night. I think that's like just seeds by Triple H or whoever there, that this guy's going to be something fucking different, no matter, not just how. Did you watch any of the clips from that match?
I watched a couple because I used to train with William Regal in Tennessee. That's where I met him.
Unbelievable. I mean, this guy, I've never seen any of it. I don't watch NXT, and I really don't watch WWE. I read about everything. But I'm watching these clips.
He's good.
So good. And it was such a throwback to the 80s and early 90s style like that. But again, I think that this is like the first piece of a really big picture that they're going to try to put together for him. I think it would, if it was New Japan, it wouldn't shock, like Wrestle Kingdom. Just that's a monster. But All Japan, it just seems like it's something so out there where it's like, okay, I'm expecting to see more of that as this kid progresses, where you see him get opportunities outside of your normal wrestling opportunity. So there's a lot of cool shit happening.
Yeah, it's just like behind, like it's slowly, like surely, but going there. I feel as though too many younger kids, they don't have the respect they should for the veterans in the dressing room. I can't tell you how many times, I won't say his name, wouldn't even shake my hand. It's like, who the fuck are you? Seriously, dude? Like, who are you? I don't even see like anything on you on the internet. I didn't say anything, but I just kind of brushed it off my shoulder. But then you get so many younger kids not going up to veterans, hey, sir, do you have time to watch my match and get feedback from them? They don't do it. Then also, where's the whole like respect thing where you give your seat up to the veteran in the dressing room when there are two chairs there, you let them sit their ass down, you don't sit down. And lastly, too many kids are doing big moves just for the sake of doing a big move when it makes no sense. There's no more storytelling. You don't, and too many of these girls have become into this fourth wave feminism. I'm not talking about our girls, just some of them were, well, you know, we can wrestle too. We want to wrestle too. Okay, great. But it just shouldn't take over the whole fucking show is all women's wrestling. I'll watch GLOW. I'll watch WOW. I'll watch something like that. And I think slowly but surely they're bringing back the female manager because those played a big part in it. And, you know, a lot of them could bump. Some of them can. Some of them cannot. Some of them sure as fuck can't sell. That's for sure. And, you know, it's just, you know what I'm talking about. But it's then you got to be careful. Like if you fuck someone up on the side of the ring, if it's that person's significant other, your friend is in the ring with that person. Are they going to start taking it out on him? You can't. It's such a fine line of being able to fuck someone up when they deserve it. But getting back to what I was saying. I hope that a lot of the stuff is coming back where you have the feminine manager, where you have the male managers, where you have those mouthpieces, because I feel like that's what wrestling is lacking in storylines, of course. So nowadays, it's really questionable about where our meat is coming from, with people like Bill Gates and everyone else screwing up our farm produce. So I decided to try my freeze-dried beef because it's the freshest beef ever at freedomfirstbeef.com. If you go to freedomfirstbeef.com, they have freeze-dried 100% organic beef, and put in the code Jasmine, J-A-S-M-I-N, for 15% off.
You know, I've always been honest about it. As a whole, I've never really been a women's wrestling fan.
Yeah.
But when I first broke in down here, there was a young wrestler that her name was Debbie Drake. But very, very early on, they sent her over to All Japan Women's, mm-hmm. and they changed her to Debbie Malenko. And I was I right from the very beginning, she was coming up about a year before me. So I found myself on a lot of shows with her, and she was very good. But she wrestled like a, if you were to be just chauvinistic, she wrestled like a man. I think a lot of people say that about Charlotte Flair, that she she's believable and wrestles like a, well, we've got fucking Mickey and Tessa.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I never, ever leave shows and go, hey, man, you really need to check out the ladies match. I do from our shows, you know, and I'm a big Ludark fan, you know, and again, hot as fuck on top of being just like really, really a legit badass, you know, so it's, we're giving people shit that other people aren't giving them because they're afraid to. I would have liked to seen a Sadaka in Houston on the card. She's she's a different level of crazy, but also is a knockout.
I don't know. Like, I like Lindsay. She was one of my favorites. She reminded me of like a Tinkerbell with tattoos and big tits. And she's like one of my favorites of all time. Like, out of our women wrestlers, like we've had, I think we've had for the most part the best of the best, and they're still there. Lindsay's the only one that I feel like we're, you know, hopefully she comes back one day or another. Ludark, I miss. I love Ludark. She was something else.
Well, and Lindsay's staying busy. I just today. I couldn't tell you what shows they were, but just today I saw two high profile shows that there's Lindsay. You know, and she's an unbelievable tattoo artist, just like Schlock, just one of the cool people, you know. And I think it's been more just a schedule. Again, she stays busy, and we weren't always way ahead on our dates. So I think a lot of it was just scheduling conflicts. But I don't know for sure. I think I'm just being hopeful. She's here in Tampa too, and she trained under Jay Lethal at the Lethal Academy when she broke into the business. So she has very strong ties to Tampa. And if you ever look at her social media, when she's not like tattooing or wrestling, she's doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu training.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, she's just a badass, you know, and always very artistic. And again, in Tampa, we're very lucky as far as the arts, especially concerts. I think I went to 15 concerts this past summer.
Yeah, you did one. I saw the photos.
Lots. It was
like
it's every fun.
Day. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? I'm like, are you on vacation or something? I thought you were on a long vacation. I'm like, oh no, he's just going to shows. Cannibal Corpse is from Tampa, but a lot of crazy stuff happens in Tampa. Like poor Pat O'Brien, what happened to him? And by the way, ask Nasty Savage where my freaking shirt is. Seriously.
I'll ask him. He's not watching Deathmatch Wrestling. So he wasn't aware of Schlock, and I was telling him about this guy. Then I started sending him pictures and video, and he's, you know, Ronnie used to throw TVs up in the air and have them crash on his head and he'd get color while he's the lead singer, you know, the Brass Mug here in Tampa and Janis Landing and shit. Now he's getting the picture of this. Schlock is just, he should be on TV or in movies or something every day. He's a fucking legit character come to life. So I'm showing Ronnie and I'm like, hey man, this guy's, I think he's a pretty good buddy of mine now, and he's a real fan of yours, but he gets to do shows and shit too. And Ronnie checked them out. So it's to kind of put them together. It is pretty cool. So if and when we ever do the Tampa show, that'll be one of my biggest to at least get Ronnie to come. I love the idea of Nasty Savage playing him out though. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, it's like metal and wrestling. Not if, it's when. Because I remember like Milwaukee Metal Fest, they had wrestling. And then they had metal in between the shows. I'm trying to get something like that for us overseas in England at Bloodstock, the best metal festival.
Yeah.
But they don't have a lot of blood over, not in England, but they don't have blood in places like Holland, Sweden, I mean, they don't have strong death matches. Like in right. Holland, probably the only weapon you might see ringside is that Singapore cane. You might even see a little bit of barbed wire, but they keep it very character-based, very grounded mm-hmm. in reality of like whatever the right. character is. I love wrestling there too. And I'm very lucky I was able to somehow, come back to XPW. I didn't know what was yeah. going to happen after that first show, but I wanted to help Rob out. I'm like, I really want to do this. And it would be really great to work with you again, despite shit from before. I think we said a lot of things that we did. Like, I know I didn't necessarily mean it. I was just working for another promotion, and that's what you do. But I think a lot of people underestimate Rob and his capabilities and talents. So I'm just glad he's back. I'm glad he's with Kat. Like, that's really cute. So what else do you have coming up besides XPW Wrestling? Like, if people want to find you online and stalk you. Oh, and by the way, you didn't answer my first question. What were some of the favorite porn stars I had on my show that you liked?
Oh, my favorite just of all. I'm a huge Ashlyn Brooke fan. And I don't know if you've ever had her or Gabby Carter. And back in the day, of course, Jenna Jameson. I was just, when I discovered her and Janine and Jesse Jane, it was that Pirates, that high budget. I couldn't believe there was, you know, I grew up in the 70s and finding my dad's like reel to reel fucking stag films, you know, and all of a sudden you've got these Barbie dolls come to life. It was just like, especially with a big budget put in, it was like, and then all of a sudden I start meeting people that I don't know if you know Craig Valentine in South Florida.
Yeah, I do very well.
Yeah, you know, well, Craig, and because he was tied in with Gangrel, so I ended up doing some shows with him. And it's just always fascinated me. I always thought rock and roll and porn and wrestling just seemed like natural, you know, that they should have just all crossed over all the time. But that was probably just my filthy dreams that I was trying to make come to life unsuccessfully. What can I say? I try.
Yeah, I mean, there is a crossover. It's almost the same crossover fan base. And I could say, because I've worked with all three businesses, it's always the same. You get the guys with the mullets. They're going to watch porn. They're going to watch wrestling. They're going to listen to heavy metal, especially metal. Yeah. I don't know what, I mean, and then you watching like your dad's reel-to-reel tapes, those are like full bushes and fast forward. You have girls.
Literally.
Or like 12-year-old like vagina lifts or something. And I didn't mean that. You guys know what I mean. I don't have to explain it. Seriously, these guys. I haven't had any of them on my podcast yet. Hopefully I'll get Janine and Ashlyn Brooke because they're two very good girls. I have a lot of fun when I bring some of them on because I only like speaking to level-headed people that are normal, like my normal. I don't know if you – I think the I don't think we've had anyone too crazy on the show since Andrew took over producing it. Not yet. Speaking of John Wayne Bobba, it was fun. That was quite an experience.
Yeah. What a throwback that is. I haven't listened to that. I need to listen. Was he good?
Yeah, he was really good and very like honest in everything. He sends me text messages like now and again to check in, and I will see how he's doing. He's in the middle of something with Camp Lejeune, that lawsuit you see on Instagram all the time. But, you know, from day one when I heard that story, I knew that bitch was after a green card and probably it was at stake. And that's totally what it was. But he has a very interesting, yeah, you should, I split it up because we, he had a lot, he was a man of 5 million words, which is good. He needs like his own special now on Netflix or something. There's going to be a Jerry Springer documentary on Netflix later this year. It's going to be really good.
Yeah, I did Springer. I got to do it. One of my buddies that used to wrestle as Chris Nelson was getting a lot of us booked. And I got to do it. It was a guy was my cousin, supposedly. And a girl was my cousin, was dating one of my best friends that I grew up with. And me and her are brought out there and there's supposed to be some huge surprise. Well, we're expecting the proposal thing, right? But my buddy comes out and he's a cross dresser and he had a dominatrix with him, and me and him got in a big fight. And this whole deal, it was fucking fun. And at the time it was a $500 payday. So I thought I was like, I've made it. I'm a TV star. I just made $500 on Springer. It was pretty fun.
When was this? What year?
I'd have to look it up. I can send you. I actually have the VHS, but I have some clips. Yeah. It was my sister was, she calls me middle of the night. My sister was in Minneapolis to see you two at the big Metrodome. So they were up late night, all fucked up. And they were watching TV to wrap it up for the night. And one of the girls, Lori, come here. She goes, is that your fucking brother? And my sister is all of a sudden in the middle of the night after leaving a concert, ripped. I'm on Jerry Springer at like one something. He called me, what are you doing on Jerry Springer? And I'm from a really, really small town in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, like 10 hours north of Detroit. Nobody leaves. And here I'm gone. I'm on Jerry Springer. They're like, you're a hit. You made it, kid. It was fun. And we had to sign like this much document saying that everything we were saying was true. But there was people that was there that while we were there, they were definitely 100% of their story was for real. So I don't know if Jerry's told who's a produced segment or who's not. I don't know.
They're not going to tell you. Like I went on in the early, like in the mid 90s in 96. And then I went on twice in 96. I went on like four times total. I was one of his highest rated guests by my second time. Cause then I was doing Stern and then the big movie. And then I went on there. It was quite a thing, but I remember the waivers. I remember it not being trash talk TV until like the 2000s when there was that murder. But he's dead now, unfortunately. He left a legacy. And I think the reason why the wackadoodles wanted to speak to him was because it's like someone's uncle you're talking to that he's not going to judge you. Jenny Jones is just an uptight bitch. So
yeah, right, and that was right across the hallway, wasn't it? Like when you leave So when we walked out, the people were in line. And then I'm like, what's this line? They go, that's Jenny Jones. I'm like, can we do that too? Let's get on that joke too.
No.
But yeah, that was a cool surprise. It really was fun. It was one of my, only in wrestling type stories. If I hadn't found my way into pro wrestling, I never would have been on the Jerry Springer show. And it was really cool. A great memory. And I got to do it with pretty good friends too. So that was even better.
That's the important part. Not with like your real life family, like relatives. So if people want to find you on social media, where do they find you? And if you have an OnlyFans, be sure to plug that.
I'll be honest. I don't even know. I just look up Ron Neamey. I think I'm the Ron Neamey. Like there's a bunch of us out. Actually, my dad and my son are Ron too. So there is a bunch of us, but I'm on Facebook and Insta. I'm there, but I don't really know how to use it. So, but I'm on Facebook. I'm old. I turn 54 next month. Can you believe that shit?
Happy birthday.
It's crazy. I fell apart. I was getting umbilical hernia surgery. You saw my knee was like,
ouch.
Just like all of a sudden fell apart. But I got really lucky. I've been out of the military since 97. So you're talking 26 years ago. I just now, like in the last 6 months, won my VA claim and just started getting medical benefits. And right after it happened, it like, just like a old car. I just started falling apart and it's real serious pain. If I didn't have that, I don't know. I really don't know what I would do. So, I'm not religious, but if I was, it would be like, well, this timing sure is pretty amazing. And my wife did too. We both have full medical benefits now and it's cool. Things are working out. She's been with me for 30 years and hasn't left during that whole fiasco. I've been Baker acted. Also, I've been in jail. Everything that a fuck up can do, I've done. I'm choosing to have as much fun now, minus the fucking up. That's the goal these days.
You haven't sent dick pics yet to someone you work with, so that's your.
See, I don't do that. I don't. I really don't. I just, you guys let me go get away with just outwardly saying, fucking holy shit, you look so fucking hot today. That's a greeting from me at an XPW show, just so everybody knows. But I'm trying to bring that back with the show too. I don't want to be gross talking about you. I don't want to be gross talking about Kat or any other girls, but when did it become like outlaw for men to say, holy fuck, look at her? Right? I mean, it's insane. Yeah.
It's cute. You know? It's fun. Like I like dressing up and stuff like that. And I like teasing my hair just that night. Normally my hair is very straight. Mm-hmm. I think the only other time I had a shit ton of hairspray is when we were in Texas, when I was working for Tim Allen's show. And then, that's it. But yeah, I mean, it's fun, I guess. Yeah, it's fun. It's cute. And plus, it's like, it's something like a throwback to the fans. You have kind of that 90s sleaze. I shouldn't even say sleaze, like the 90s sex appeal at that time, which I think needs to come back. Because nowadays, sometimes you see people like, I was outside earlier, this girl's in her pajamas and she's in her 20s. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? You're like,
what are you doing?
and like you're in slippers outside. They're not even Uggs. They're like slipper boots. And you have this big hat on. You have no makeup on. And
don't get
hair,
it.
And you don't even have perfume on. Like, who the hell are you? Like, what you are you trying to attract out here?
I brag about that a little bit where I'm still a big, huge mark for my wife. I really am, especially physically and everything like that. But she only wears eyeliner. That's it. She doesn't wear makeup. And she goes out of the house looking perfect every day. Right. She'd never go out looking like shit. She'd never be dressed like shit. And she isn't even showing cleavage or anything. Just fucking hot. But wearing nice shit and looks like a pro, you know, somebody you'd want to be associated with. And it's like, I get to wake up to that every day. I'm fucking winning. I mean, like in a real big way. You know, she isn't aging at the alarming rate that I'm aging at.
Internally.
People are probably like, you know, they're probably looking at us in public now. Like, look at this fucking creep. What's he got?
Thinks you're the sugar daddy.
Yeah, what's he got? You know, he's probably loaded. Yeah.
Well, you never know. But thank you so much for joining us. And
I had so much fun
in Jersey. Thanks for doing this. I appreciate you.
It was a lot of fun. Thank you very much. I'll see you in Jersey. We'll do it all over again.
Woo! Yeah.